every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
This is America on the Road, named Best Radio Show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 33rd year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack DeRad. With me is co-host Chris Teagan. Chris, have fall-colored tourists invaded your town yet?
My town is right on the coast, and we get some fall colors, but they head to the mountains for those, and I've heard it's pretty spectacular. We've been in a big drought, so we'll see how it goes, but not a weather show.
Yeah, exactly. Although this is probably a good week for that, I would imagine, if you were in Maine. Plenty of news to talk about this weekend on the car side. After a long pause due to a cyber attack, a global automaker has resumed its manufacturing operations. We'll tell you what automaker we're talking about and what the future may bring for them next. Auto sales have been humming through the first three quarters of the year. Battery electric sales were particularly strong in September. But is there a hidden warning in their September numbers? We'll give you our opinions on that coming up. Curious about Chris's opinions, as always. One EV maker that didn't get a big lift in September was Lucid Motors. We'll tell you what their next moves are likely to be and give you our predictions a little later. Mercedes-Benz has just gone on record against carbon derived from fossils. And we'll tell you more about what I think is a baffling story coming up. And Audi is showing a new e-bike that looks pretty cool. Are you an e-bike fan, Chris?
I am a fan. I didn't used to be, but I tested one, and they are quite entertaining.
Yeah, I bet they're kind of cool. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my latest book, Only One Thing Stays the Same, and Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury. So imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at drivingtoday.com/auto insurance. That's drivingtoday.com/auto-insurance. Well, as you longtime listeners of the show know, Chris lives at one end of the country. I live at the other. Each week we get together to talk about cars, the car industry, and how you can save some money on your car. What is your test vehicle this week, Chris?
I drove the 2026 Nissan Murano. It was all new for 2025, and I can't wait to tell you all about it.
My test vehicle this week is the all-new, well, maybe not all-new, but 2025 Toyota GR6 Hakone Edition. We'll tell you about it in our road test segment. And our special guest this week is John Dickin. He serves as Director of Material Damage Claims at Mercury Insurance, but we'll be talking about home EV chargers, and you've got one of those at your house, Chris. And so stay with us for that. We'll have tons of show right here on America on the Road. Chris is back with us, and we're happy about that. So we'll have a great show. Stay with us, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Progressive's Auto Quote Explorer lets you easily compare direct rates from different insurance companies, so you can be confident you're getting the right one, even if it's not with Progressive. Way more confident than you were when you bought that TV in the parking lot. It just happened to not come in a box or include a remote. And when you finally managed to turn it on, all it displayed was the menu of Grumpy's Tacos. So use Progressive's Auto Quote Explorer and be confident you're getting insurance that's right for you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Staples presents, That Was Easy.
Our office computers were from, like, 2012.
What? They had computers then?
Yeah, I don't know much about new tech.
Apparently.
So I went to Staples and saved big on an AI-powered HP laptop and HP OfficeJet Pro printer, which also came with 3 months of free Instant Ink.
And we're back in this century. During Staples HP Tech Event, save up to 35% on HP printers and up to 40% on AI-powered HP PCs.
That was easy.
In-store, online, and on the app. Until 11-1, select models only.
I'm Scott Hansen, host of NFL Red Zone. Lowe's knows Sundays hit different when you earn them. We've got you covered with outdoor power equipment from Kobalt and everything you need to weatherproof your deck with Trex decking. Plus, with lawn care from Scotts and, of course, Pit Boss grills and accessories, you can get a home field advantage all season long. So get to Lowe's, get it done, and earn your Sunday. Lowe's, official partner of the NFL.
Kohl's Cash is turning 20, and to celebrate, Kohl's is giving you the gifts. All month, you can enter our sweepstakes for a chance to win $200 Kohl's Cash. Plus, get epic deals on cozy favorites, home must-haves, and more right now. Yep, we were gonna throw a party, but this is better. Cue the confetti and the savings at Kohl's. Offer in September 28th, select style. Some exclusions apply. Sweepstakes end September 30th, 2025. No purchase necessary. 20 winners per day. Limit one price per person for entire sweepstakes. See Kohl's.com for official rules and details.
The Columbia Interchange System was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day. Featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Neerad along with Chris Teague with you for news time on America on the Road. And big news for Jaguar Land Rover. They have finally restarted their engines. They're revving back to life after a major cyber attack brought its operations to a halt. This was in late August. They began a phased restart recently, and they started engine building, battery assembly, and stuff like that. Now they're pretty much back into full production, but this has been a giant thing. And again, I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Chris, underreported, you know, a whole company being shut down by a cyber attack, a global company like this. This is major, major stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, the other automakers have to be looking at this and saying, wow, you know, we've got some holes we need to plug up here. But for Jaguar Land Rover, you know, Jaguar only has, I think, one vehicle in production right now. So this was literally the worst timing that this action could have happened to them. And I hope they're able to kind of come out of this as they were in the middle of restructuring anyway. But it'll be interesting to see where they go.
Yeah, I mean, they were having a tough time, as you mentioned before that. They got a $1.1 billion loan guarantee from the United Kingdom government, which will help them and their suppliers, because suppliers are hard hit by this, too. I think you talked about that a couple weeks ago, too. Parent company Tata Motors is working closely with British authorities to try and figure this all out. It would be kind of interesting to figure out where this cyber attack emanated from, because nobody quite knows, at least nobody's saying. But as you say, this is a warning shot for, I think, all car manufacturers and all big manufacturing operations of any type.
Yeah, the scope of this thing, it just seemed to balloon immediately, and it covered every part of their business operations. And, you know, any cyber attack has a negative impact, but this one, you know, being able to shut down an entire company, pretty serious stuff.
Yeah, when your assembly lines stop as a car maker, I mean, everything has to, at some point, kind of come to a halt, because, you know, you have no product to sell. Although I think maybe in Jaguar Land Rover's case, they might have had some built up inventory that maybe some other manufacturer wouldn't have had, so they could catch their breath that way. Speaking of car sales, U.S. car sales picked up speed in September. They climbed 3.5% year over year. Of course, there was a race to take advantage of the expiring federal tax credits on electric vehicles. And the seasonally adjusted annual rate, sales rate, which is you know, something the industry looks at, hit 16.4 million units, which means they're on a pace to sell in the calendar year 16.4 million vehicles totally, which is pretty darn strong. Battery electric vehicles, of course, kind of led the charge here, or one of the leaders of the charge. They took a record 11.8% of U.S. new car, total market. What's your take on that, Chris? I have some questions about that.
Yeah, it was interesting to see, everybody predicted that EV sales would climb at the end, or nearing the end of the EV tax credits. Going forward, though, I think a lot of automakers have held on to some of their in-house incentives to kind of keep driving sales. So I don't think we're going to see a cratering, but, we've said this many times, I don't have a crystal ball, so I'm kind of watching this with everybody else.
Yeah, well, I don't have a crystal ball either, but, I looked at these sales and I kind of wonder why the market share wasn't even higher than 12%, given the fact that, they're hitting a wall in terms of these federal tax credits. As you say, some of the manufacturers and many of the manufacturers have come up with ways to try to extend that. And just as we're doing this show today, we heard that Tesla is lowering prices and has low price models going out there. So there is quite a bit of incentive spending, but not the kind of incentive spending on non-electrics that we might have guessed. Well, I just have to see what the fourth quarter holds. It'll be fascinating to see whether electric vehicle sales do drastically go off the cliff or whether they hang in there.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll see them come down a bit, but I don't think we'll see them crater. I mean, people still want the cars. It'll just be interesting to watch where, January, February of 2026 leads us.
Yeah. I wonder what the unincentivized market share of electric vehicles would be. I've seen predictions anywhere from 4 to 10%. Matt DiLorenzo on the show last week was saying that he expects that electric vehicle sales could be 25% at some point. He didn't exactly specify when, so I found that interesting because I think kind of their natural rate is probably significantly lower than that. But, we all have our opinions, right? Opinions are like noses.
Yeah, and some of this will probably depend on where regulations go in the future, right? I mean, we've rolled back some of the emissions rules, so Dodge is bringing back the V8 instead of pushing forward with new electric models. So I guess that, automakers are going to do what makes them the most money. And if that's a gas engine, then that's probably where we'll be.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, Lucid Motors didn't really benefit from from what was going on in September in terms of vehicle sales. Of course, they're an electric vehicle maker, very nice electric vehicles, as a matter of fact, although very premium priced. Their sales and deliveries were under what Wall Street analysts had predicted for them. Of course, this is really important to that kind of startup company, how they're either matching expectations or not. They're trying to concentrate on the new Gravity SUV, which makes a ton of sense because that's where all the sales are in the luxury market, and they are certainly a luxury vehicle. The Gravity is a very nice SUV, but boy, it's been slow to get out into the marketplace, hasn't it?
It has. I'm surprised Lucid didn't start with the Gravity, given where the market was when they hit the ground running.
Yeah.
But they've got deep pockets. They've got the backing of the Saudi government or the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund or whatever it's called. As you mentioned, I think their biggest problem right now is price. They didn't qualify for the tax credits when they were available.
Right. Yeah.
Because of that price. So, the Gravity, they've said they're going to come out with lower price versions and they might have saturated the market that they have at the price point already. So, I hope they're able to come down. I would like to drive one. I've never driven one. Have you?
Yeah, I have. I've driven various Lucid models. They're really terrific. We did a test of Gravity. It seems so long ago, actually. I went on an event maybe last summer. Not this past summer that has just ended, but the summer before.
Wow.
Yeah. So here's a story. I'm curious as to your take on this. Mercedes-Benz has come out against fossil carbon. And we're not talking about fossil fuels here. We're talking about carbon that is used in parts, plastics and those kind of things. There is a coalition that includes other companies like BASF, Covestro, Michelin, and Continental that have signed on to what they call the Renewable Carbon Initiative. And the goal is to replace carbon, fossil-derived carbon with renewable alternatives, biomass, captured CO2, which is good, recycled material, I'm for all of that, and recently deceased animals, roadkill. No, I made that up. But the rest is true. I'm curious. My take is, if you can pump something out of the ground and use it, and it's useful, why not do that? But what's your take?
Yeah, I guess, so two things. First of all, I'm going to plead ignorance because I didn't realize this was a thing until I saw the notes on this. I guess, is carbon derived from fossils, is that a process that they do intentionally, or is it a byproduct that happens when they're refining other materials?
Well, I think what we're talking about here is coal, oil, and natural gas. And instead of using that stuff, use gas that comes from biomass, for example. And I'm all for that, but I don't see anything wrong with pulling stuff out of the ground that would otherwise go unused to make useful products for people. I think that kind of just makes sense, and it doesn't seem like it's causing any environmental harm.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds a little bit like the electric vehicle situation here in this country. People said, we're going to build 1 million electric vehicles, but we don't have the chargers to support it. Mercedes wants to go to synthetic carbon fuels and things like that. Those aren't ready for the mainstream yet, and they might not be for a while. So I think, you know, this is a great posturing, a move to show, you know, hey, we're virtue signaling here, but I don't see this being practical anytime soon. And again, I'm not an expert on this, but it doesn't feel like it's around the corner.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's around the corner. You know, they can continue to do this, and I think you and I both are, I certainly am in favor of recycling things and, you know, conservation and conservation of resources. I think that makes a ton of sense. I don't think very few people, I think, would object to that. But, well, as we go onward here, remind us of the vehicle you'll be testing this week, Chris.
I had the 2026 Nissan Murano.
And I'll be testing the 2025 Toyota GR86. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair, when you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Keegan. With you, it is road test time. And boy, do we have some cool road test vehicles this time around. Very different vehicles this time. Sometimes we have almost a comparison test, but these vehicles are very, very different. Chris, tell us about the vehicle you're testing this week.
Yeah, I drove the 2026 Nissan Murano. It was all new for the 2025 model year, and I've been wanting to drive it since it came out earlier this year. Jack, that comes in three trims, SV, SL, and Platinum. I tested the top Platinum model. It costs around $52,000 to start, and mine was around $54,000 after options. The base model is just under $43,000. So you got quite a price spread here, but it is kind of on the premium side of the spectrum. Jack, have you driven the newest Murano? And if so, what did you think about it?
I have not. It's been a long time, actually, since I've been in any Nissan vehicle. I've got to remedy that. Talk to my Nissan friends, should I still have some, and see what's going on there.
Yeah, so you get a turbocharged 2.0-liter four-cylinder engine with this vehicle. It makes 241 horsepower. And my biggest, most anticipated change to this SUV for the model year was the move from a continuously variable transmission to a 9-speed automatic transmission. And I'll talk about that more in just a minute. But front-wheel drive is available. I'm sorry, front-wheel drive is standard. All-wheel drive is available, and all models get an 8-speed automatic transmission. So, Jack, we've talked about the continuously variable transmissions until we're blue in the face. And I've said many times that Nissan has done a better job at it than others just because they do that. That's been their transmission for many years. The 9-speed automatic is a big improvement over the continuously variable unit, but I still think Nissan might be the only automaker that can make an automatic transmission feel like a CVT. It doesn't feel like they've given up on the tuning just enough to give it in a new feel. What do you think about that? You know, kind of retaining the old...
A couple of things. One, the Murano is a pretty big vehicle, I think, for a CVT. I think they work best in smaller vehicles, and, you know, certainly they're more for fuel economy than they are for fun. I guess anybody who's close to that, close to the business would say that. In this instance, I would think maybe it just needs some more tuning. The new geared transmission automatic needs more tuning because it's new to that platform, I guess.
I agree. You know, I think all the elements are there. I think a little bit of refinement through software updates and maybe some tuning, like you said, would help it feel more responsive. It does feel just a little gummy and not so on the ball, but it offers a comfortable ride. I've talked many times about our road quality around here, and the Murano did just fine on all of them. Even at highway speeds, the wind noise is you know, well controlled. And what you don't get with the 9-speed is the whining and wailing sound from the engine under heavy throttle. And that's a welcome change when moving to the 9-speed automatic. Inside, cloth upholstery comes standard. My Platinum trim came with perforated leather upholstery. Jack, they gave the interior some of the touches from the Nissan Ariya EV. So what you get is a more visually appealing space. It looks expensive. It looks like it costs $70,000 instead of $54,000. And there are nice materials throughout. You get some fake wood trim that doesn't quite feel like plastic and some other nice materials inside. And as I mentioned, the perforated leather seats are very nice. The Platinum trim has heated and ventilated front seats. You also get massaging functionality here, which is unique for a Murano. I would not have expected it. Not the best massage, but you do get lumbar support and everything too. The front seats are nicely supportive. They're very spacious, nice room, good ergonomics. The front seat or the back seats are a little bit tighter, which I think is probably not the biggest surprise for a two-row SUV. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think so. I think this is a vehicle that's always been more about style, I think, than functionality, really. I think style is its function, right? I mean, it's supposed to be a cool-looking SUV, a crossover SUV. I think it accomplishes that. So rear seats probably not used by more than two people and probably not that very often.
Yeah, and the trade-off is that you get solid cargo space and the back seats fold down so you can fit pretty big items back there. On the technology front, you get a dual 12.3-inch display screen system. You get a 12.3-inch digital gauge cluster and then a touchscreen. Wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto are standard. My Platinum trim came with a Bose audio system and wireless charging. I like Nissan's infotainment system. I think that it does a good job at organizing the menus to make them easy to use while you're driving. Nissan uses high-resolution displays with good processing power, so the system is responsive. It's easy to see, and so you're not like kind of fiddling and hunting and pecking around for different buttons while you're driving. And the Bose audio system sounds fantastic. It's more than loud enough for everybody. You get good bass, and the car has good sound insulation, so it doesn't sound tinny, and you don't get road noise and interference there. The Platinum trim comes with a full suite of advanced safety equipment as well, so you get blind spot monitoring, forward cross traffic alerts, adaptive cruise control, and all the rest. Jack, I think if I were going to swing this vehicle, I would go for the mid-range SL trim. You still get most of the nice stuff without the super high-end interior features, and you save like $7,000. So I think overall the upgrade here is very much worth the money. Nissan did a good job overhauling it. I just want to see some transmission tuning going into the next model year.
Yeah, I mean, I love the fact that they've gone to a geared transmission, a more conventional automatic transmission. I think that's terrific. And I've always had a soft spot in my heart for the Murano. I think it's kind of cool. So I'm glad to see it continue and maybe improve.
I agree.
Well, I am really eager for your take on my test vehicle, which is the 2025 Toyota GR86. I had the Hakone edition. This is a sports coupe. One of the few sports coupes still around. Special edition. Of course, they put out special editions to kind of breathe new life into vehicles that are kind of aging a bit, which you can say the GR86 is. This is named after the Hakone Turnpike, which is a really cool road, you know, that I had a chance to drive once upon a time. Amazing views. Remind me of the Sierras here in California, for example. Very, very cool. This is a limited edition to just 860 units, and this is a 2025, so many of these might already be in people's hands, although I'm not sure how exactly hot a ticket this was. Give me, before I dive in any deeper, Chris, your kind of overall take on the GR86.
I like the format. The front engine, rear-wheel drive, manual transmission combination is really hard to beat, but I chose the GR Corolla over the GR86 for a reason. You get more power and all-wheel drive, and it's just a more usable car overall. But for what it is, you know, small format, I think it's fantastic, and I'm glad to see they're still on sale.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those vehicles that I wanted to like, frankly, more than I did like, you know, because I love the idea of this vehicle, and I think underneath, maybe part of the problem is this is really a Subaru. This isn't really a Toyota. It shares the platform with the Subaru BRZ, and I think there's a ton of Subaru in this, including the powertrain. There's nothing exactly wrong with that, but I don't know that it's particularly leading edge in a lot of areas. The Hakone edition includes unique styling, as you would guess. There's some performance upgrades, but not a ton of them, really, or they're all that meaningful. Limited edition, as I mentioned, so there is that. Let's talk about the powertrain. It's a naturally aspirated 2.4-liter boxer engine, 228 horsepower, 180 pound-feet of torque, so not a ton of torque. Although it has fairly good low-end torque, I would say it has reasonable punch. But, you know, this is a vehicle where I thought, boy, I wish it had more horsepower. I think the chassis and everything could use more horsepower. You have the choice of a six-speed manual transmission or a six-speed automatic. And my tester had the automatic with paddle shifters. I'm curious as to your take on that, Chris. I see a little wince.
I drove the BRZ with the automatic transmission, and for me, it kind of muted the experience. I think the car is already down a little bit on power, so you have to push it to get the fun out of it, and the automatic just kind of zaps that for me.
Yeah, I had the exact same experience. I just feel like if I had a manual transmission in this thing, I could do what I do and have some fun with it. I don't know if I'd be any faster with it or anything else, but I think I would have somewhat more fun with it. This does have the, I guess, automatic blipping of the throttle for heel and toe, kind of eliminates the need to do as much heel and towing as one used to. It has a Torsen limited slip rear differential as standard, so that kind of stuff. Handling dynamics are just fine. I think this is a vehicle that's fairly light. It's under 2,900 pounds, so that's very light in this context. It has Sachs dampers that are cool. But I felt the chassis could handle a lot more horsepower. You know, I was just kind of always begging a little bit for more horsepower. It has great stopping power. It has Brembo brakes, four piston calipers up front, two piston units in the rear. So all that's good. And again, I didn't drive this on the track, so maybe I didn't push it as the way, you know, others would push it when you were on the track. But most of us are not going to be driving this vehicle on the track very much anyway.
I mean, I would say that a lot of these, not issues, but maybe shortcomings, are probably due to the price, right? I mean, this car is much more reasonably priced than some other offerings. But a turbocharger would do it some good for sure.
Yeah. Inside, I kind of got the Miata syndrome here, where I think this vehicle is a little small for me. I'm not that big a guy. I'm not 6 feet tall like Chris Teague is. I'm only 5'11 or so. In fact, I think maybe I'm 5'10 these days. As you get older, you shrink a little bit, Chris. It's kind of a weird thing. Also, when you break your back, you shrink a little bit. But it's got a kind of a small cockpit and just the tiniest of all possible trunks. The infotainment system's okay. There's a lot to like about this vehicle. Again, this is a vehicle I hope to like more than I did. I think it's a good value, and I love to see this kind of vehicle still out there. What are your parting thoughts on this vehicle? It's right around $39,000-$40,000.
Yeah, the back seat is mostly a shelf. I don't think I would ever want to try to put anybody in the back seat. If I were 25, had no kids and no family, this would be a fantastic car to drive around every day. I think as I've aged and picked up some responsibilities, it kind of loses it for me. And it's not fun enough to be kind of like an on-the-shelf weekend sports car. I think something else would be better.
Yeah. I'm right with you on that. Well, when we come back, we will have a terrific guest. John Dickin is Director of Material Damage Claims at Mercury Insurance. We're going to be talking about installing a home EV charger. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Kohl's Friends and Family Sale is so good, you'll want to put your phone on Do Not Disturb. Yep, the only thing you're picking up is deals. Now through Sunday, take an extra 20% off all your fall favorites. From soft throws to slow cookers, warm flannels to cozy cardigans. Plus, earn $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. So go ahead, let those notifications wait, because these prices won't. Select styles, some exclusions apply. 20% offer ends October 5th. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
With hurricanes, wildfires, and severe storms threatening communities, preparedness is essential. In a crisis, connection helps hold communities together. Year-round, T-Mobile works to keep people connected, reinforcing sites, adding backup power, and using smart tech and AI to reroute traffic and even tilt antennas in real time to spread coverage when a site is affected. If cell towers go down, T-Satellite with Starlink lets compatible phones send and receive texts, even to 911, in most places, as long as you can see the sky. And emergency alerts can still reach most phones. You don't even need to be a customer. On the ground, teams deploy with mobile cell sites to restore service, while community support vehicles offer free Wi-Fi and device charging for anyone who needs it. This National Preparedness Month, enable wireless emergency alerts, set up Wi-Fi calling, and save local emergency numbers. For more information, visit T-Mobile.com. Sponsored by T-Mobile.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. We're so glad you're with us. We really do appreciate it. We have a wonderful guest for you. John Dickin has been on our show before. He is Director of Material Damage Claims at Mercury Insurance. Of course, Mercury is kind of our go-to on all kinds of questions about insurance. But we're not. We're going to talk about insurance, but also in kind of an interesting way here, John. Number one, I would like to welcome you to the program. Thanks so much for being with us.
Of course. Thank you.
We're going to talk about EV owners and the fact that they're installing home chargers, and that has some implications, I think, insurance-wise, that maybe people won't immediately jump out at them. But what general trends are you seeing among your policy owners in terms of installing EV chargers? Is there a lot of it?
Yes, we're definitely seeing more of this, just as we're seeing an upward trend with the number of EV vehicles on the road. Would make sense that they're installing more chargers within their homes as well. We don't have any data on that specifically, but we're definitely seeing it.
Yeah. And like I say, it does have some implications. I mean, certainly installing a home EV charger isn't an inconsiderable expense. I mean, it can cost anywhere between $1,700 and maybe $2,500. It could be $5,000, depending on how complex your wiring is, how old your house is, and all that kind of stuff. I've seen people kind of have to rewire their entire home when they install an EV charger. But do you have any kind of sense as what's realistic in terms of costs for this?
You know, I think that's kind of your starting price there, what you mentioned. You know, it can go up, of course, depending on if your electrical panel needs to be upgraded or the distance is long from, you know, the panel to where your chargers are at. It's just the complexity of the installation can definitely drive up the costs. And then, of course, your permit fees as well. So that also varies. If you do a bi-directional charger, then you're talking about $5,000 to $7,000.
Oh, and explain that to our listeners a little bit.
So a bi-directional is going to allow you to be able to use the power in your vehicle to power your home if necessary. So it allows the power to go both ways.
Yeah, which would be cool if you were able to do it. It might not be worth the cost to install that, depending on how you look at it, though. Hey, what are the major challenges that homeowners are experiencing when they go to install an EV charger?
So generally, it's, you know, just the cost, I think. You know, common challenges would be electrical capacity limitations, the cost of infrastructure upgrades, charging station itself, regulatory compliance, permit processes, you know, certified electricians, proper installation and non-compatible equipment, all of those types of things is what you basically have.
It's pretty important to go through the permitting process, I would think, and a lot of people maybe don't think that they need to do that for this kind of installation, but it might be required, right?
Correct, definitely.
Yeah. And I think Wi-Fi connectivity is kind of important, too. I mean, you're using your Wi-Fi if you're monitoring your charging, among other things. Certainly, Wi-Fi in our homes seems like, you know, just as important as water flowing out of the taps these days. But talk about that a little bit.
So essentially, you know, this, they say this is impacting about one third of all problems with the home chargers. Basically, it disrupts the user experience. It prevents remote monitoring, scheduled charging, and access to some of those smart features. Common causes including Wi-Fi signals, faulty chargers, or software bugs. So.
Yeah, and there's you know, potentially a lot of that going on, and you know, you want to have your internet provider providing pretty robust coverage if you get an electrical system. I imagine you know, these early adopters though probably have pretty good internet connectivity typically.
Yes, yes, and I think that continues to improve.
Mm-hmm. What are the insurance implications here? I mean, just from the insurance point of view, it. Does this change your coverage? I mean, what should homeowners know about that?
Yeah, it's not anything significant, but you do want to update your coverage. You can also wait to do like at your midterm. It's not necessarily something that needs to be done right away, but it is important to update that.
Mm-hmm. And why does the insurance company find that that's important? Why is it?
You know, just making sure that they consider that as part of the, you know, the value of your home, etc.
Yeah, I mean, if you had to replace your home for some reason, you had a fire or other kind of damage, and
exactly.
that system was damaged, you'd want to be able to replace that and let the insurance company know that you had it.
Yes, correct. Yep.
To get reimbursed. Here's a question, it might vary from locale to locale, and I know Mercury Insurance doesn't operate in all 50 states, but operates in a lot of states, and I think in a lot of states in which electric vehicles are pretty popular. What about the value of your home? Does it increase the value of your home, do you think, to install an EV charger?
You know, they say that the exact, you know, financial return, it really varies upon market. There are some studies that show that homes with EV chargers can command a higher price and a better return on the investment, especially if that shift continues towards electric vehicles. But as far as, you know, actual dollar amount, you know, that I really don't have. I don't think it's anything significant, to be honest.
Yeah, so. I mean, I'm kind of wondering, and it really, of course, your home value, it depends on the desire of the buyer of the home, right? I mean, that's the only home value
Correct.
That really counts, right? And, you know, some might desire an EV charger and find that to be a very welcome addition to the house, and others might go, well, I don't have an electric car, don't intend to have one, and it's kind of meaningless to me, so... I guess
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And a lot of times in those cases, I understand the people will return all or take the equipment with them. You know, you still have where everything would connect, but they take the equipment.
Yeah. I think a lot of the installation, though, probably is in addition, depending on, again, it's one off every time, right? You know, rewiring and doing that kind of thing. I know in my particular instance here in this home, my home is 70-some years old. We've done some remodeling, but I think it would take a significant amount of rewiring to get that higher voltage electricity to the garage where I need it. I don't have a washer dryer in the garage, for example.
And it would. So they'd have to run an all new line, and that could even get into possibly even a new panel that you might even need a new main panel to handle something like that. So
yeah, and it's important to have a certified electrician. I mean, this is certainly in virtually all instances. This isn't a DIY, do-it-yourself, you know,
Correct.
Kind of look at YouTube videos and then figure it out kind of thing, is it?
Right, especially if you're going through the permit process, which is recommended, so.
Yeah. I think the permit process is probably recommended from an insurance point of view, too. I think as an insurance company, you'd much rather have
a
certified installation that has been permitted versus something that came in kind of under the table, right?
Correct. Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Are there insurance incentives for having EV owners and for charging stations?
You know, we offer a small EV discount for some states. We do not offer one in California or New York. And the discount generally only applies to EVs on the policy.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not vary whether they install a charger at their home either. So
yeah, I mean, it strikes me that EVs are a different situation than the conventional car. I guess it kind of makes sense. You have conventional, and they are treated in a conventional way. EVs are significantly different in terms of construction, in terms of what's valuable, or you know, what is costly to repair. Walk me through that and how the difference in what you've seen in terms of materials and claims and that kind of thing differ between an EV and a conventional vehicle.
Yeah, definitely it is more costly to repair an EV vehicle, as I think we kind of discussed on a prior segment. So definitely seen higher labor rates in many cases, different materials, which sometimes are not as repairable. As though, say, like on an ICE vehicle, Generally have a lot more lighting, exterior lighting. You know, for example, if you're looking at a regular Ford F-150 and you're looking at a F-150 Lightning, you know, there's a lot more lighting, a lot more fancy stuff on there that definitely can run those repair costs up.
Yeah. I mean, that has seemed to be something that just kind of marks a vehicle as an electric vehicle, although I think we're seeing conventional vehicles kind of, you know, take that styling as well. But it is costly to have those quote-unquote lighting signatures, isn't it, potentially?
Yes, it truly is. It truly is. So, yeah, Tesla's doing a lot. They're looking at a lot of their repair procedures and trying to kind of streamline some of that as well to help curb some of those repair costs. So,
when you have a damage to a battery pack, which of course is the most costly portion of an electric vehicle, are they able to be repaired, or is it kind of a throwaway at that point? You know, what's your...
Minor damage could be repaired, but most of the time those are all going to require replacement and very spendy to replace those battery packs. So some vehicles that could total them out, having to replace that battery pack, especially if that's combined with other repairs.
Mm-hmm. What kind of dollar figures are we looking at here?
Gosh, so well, for that Ford Lightning, I think the battery for that is in the neighborhood of $50,000.
Yikes.
Yes, yikes. Very expensive. Yikes. So.
Well, getting back a little bit to installation of EV chargers in homes, are there specific electrical upgrades needed to install a level 2 charger? I mean, a level 2 charger is really the way to go. A plug-in charger with running 110 is not the right way. Talk about that.
Correct. So, yeah, I mean, you know, essentially kind of what we went over, it just, you know, the level 2 is going to be your most common, you know, one that is installed. But that does require running all new wiring. That does require, you know, the permit process and everything associated with that.
Yeah. When you look at claims, I think claims are very often associated with the driver and driver behavior as much as the vehicle. But are you seeing different driver? It strikes me electric vehicles are interesting in that they have, I think they're typically owned by people who are pretty well-to-do and thus maybe not as risk-takers. But at the same time, they have kind of incredible performance potential. I mean, how does that balance? Or what are you looking at there?
Well, I mean, for example, look at the Plaid, the Tesla Plaid. I mean, that car performs incredible. So many of these vehicles, these electric vehicles, perform very high levels. So sometimes it does require a skill set to be able to handle something like that. So, and occasionally drivers do run out of talent.
Yeah, more than occasionally. I think in the insurance industry, you find that out pretty much every day, don't you?
Yes. Somebody's out, you know, trying it out. And you see that a lot of times when the vehicle's newer. So.
Right. Yeah. And maybe they're just not used to that amount of acceleration. Any parting thoughts on this whole issue before we let you go? We're coming to the end of our segment, John.
No, I think we've covered it all. I appreciate it, Jack.
And so great to talk with you. And we'll look to talk with you again as we have more insurance questions or maybe electric vehicle questions or any kind of questions at all. Maybe we'll ask
Absolutely.
You what we should have for dinner next week.
Yes.
I'll call you and check in with you on that. But thanks so much, John Dickin of Mercury Insurance. Thanks so much for being with us. We really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Look forward to talking to you again. And stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back to America on the Road with co-host Christine Shepard with you. It is listener question time. Number one, we're so glad you're with us. We do appreciate that. And we love to get your questions and comments. Send them to editor@drivingtoday.com. That's editor@drivingtoday.com. Here's a question from Bradley in Stockton, California. I'm looking to buy a used car, and I'm wondering about trying to buy one from an auto auction. What do you two guys think of that idea?
Well, I think of a bunch of things, actually. I think the first thing is that a lot of auto auctions are restricted to dealers and people who have dealers' licenses. So you might have a hard time. I think some, like Copart, might have some public auctions that you can go to. But that's the first thing. The second thing is auctions aren't like shopping at a car dealer. You don't get the same touchy-feely inspection process. You don't have the same guarantees and everything that you would get with like a certified pre-owned vehicle. So there are a lot of risks involved. I think if you're handy and you're looking for a car that you can do a little bit of work on yourself, an auction could be a great way to save some money. If you want to get in a car and drive it every day and not think about what could go wrong or what parts you need to buy, auctions might not be the best choice due to some of the conditions of the cars that arrive there. But you can find gems hidden in the rough everywhere. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you've summed it up perfectly. I don't really have much to add. It's the fact that you have to make a decision just like that without seeing much about the car that I think for most people is pretty off-putting or kind of a no-go. As you say, a lot of people can't get into auto auctions. If you have a friend in the business, maybe you can. But I would say largely try a different tack. That wraps up our show for this week. My new crime novel, Only One Thing Stays the Same, is now available in both ebook and paperback form at Amazon. We'll have links in the show notes to that book. If you like our show, please pass it on. Listen on this radio station each week. Let your friends know where you hear America on the Road. We love terrestrial radio. I'm glad it's still out there. I'm glad vehicles still have AM radio, too. And America on the Road is also available as a podcast, isn't it, Chris?
That's right. A quick Google search for the America on the Road podcast will bring us to you on all the major platforms, Spotify, Apple, all the rest. Like us, download the show, leave us a review. All those things help us out, and you can take us with you wherever you go.
We'd love to be pretty much wherever you go, and we have YouTube and Rumble channels, so you can check those out. Subscribe to those if you would. Look for our America on the Road videos there. Our thanks to Mercury Insurance for sponsoring the show and to our Sports Byline Network stations for carrying it. Most of all, thanks to you for listening. We know you have a lot of choices, so the fact that you're listening to America on the Road honors us. We do appreciate that, and we hope you join us again next time for another edition of America on the Road.